I remember having read a book by a man named Stuart Wilde years ago, and Stuart said, any venture that you're getting involved in and you're moving forward, you're going to need some collaborators. You're going to need some other people. But you have to keep in mind that there's some 5 billion people on the planet. So you don't need them all. You just need actually literally a handful in relationship to that. And here's what will happen. Some people will come with you and some people won't. You know, early on in the whole thing, you know, when I first made that commitment to myself, I was going to the top no matter what. Here's what I realized. I realized now it was going to be easy. I'm going to the top. All I've got to do is go out there and find those half a dozen people who are going to go to the top with me. So we're sorting. We're not convincing. We're just going on out there and putting the opportunity in front of as many people as possible.
Hey, Mike, I remember the first time that you and I were sitting in somebody's living room hearing about our first network marketing opportunity. And I remember looking around the room at the other people just saying, wow, they're going to do it. You know, I hope I get in before them. And, you know, wow, I better start talking to people before they talk to people. So I think it's real important, you know, if you've got 10 or 12 people that all know each other that you're going to be inviting, you know, and you're on the phone with Susie, you say, hey, Susie, Mary and Joe and Bill have already committed to coming on Tuesday night. You know, you might want to come and check it out too. And so just by, you know, using other people as examples, sometimes that creates a big fear of loss. So number six is creating that fear of loss. Number seven is have an enthusiasm. And I always kid around and say the last four letters of enthusiasm are IASM, which stands for I am Steve Melia. I'm just kidding. For you, they could stand for I am sold myself. And I once heard that sales is really nothing but a transference of belief. And that's really what you're looking to do is transfer your enthusiasm to another person. I don't think there's anything funnier than someone calling somebody up and say, I am excited about my opportunity, when there's no enthusiasm or no excitement in their voice at all. And it's also been said that it's not your words, it's your music. And, you know, I think that's why we like maybe a particular song, because of the music, because of the attitude that's involved. And it's the same thing as you're talking to your prospects. It's not so much what you're saying, but it's how you say it. And I think we can all agree with that.
I think it's a really good idea, Steve, to you know, pump yourself up before you do these phone calls. You know, if you like to listen to music and dance around the house, then do that before you. I want you to be excited before you get on the phone. You need to get yourself excited. You need to, you know, put in that company video if you want to watch it for the first time that morning before you get on the phone calls. Or maybe you have your dream board in your office that you're looking at, and that will make you pick up the phone. And I think those are really good things. And, you know, if you think about the person that maybe is a mentor in your company that you look up to, and you think about that person, he or she probably has an energy, an attraction about them that you want to have. And it's not even what they're saying. It's just they can stand there and people run to them. So that's the type of energy, that's the type of enthusiasm that you want to have in your voice, because again, like I said before, it's not what you say, it's the music that comes out of your voice. People will be attracted to who you are.
Kim talked about like having a dream board and stuff. And what does that mean? You know, it's like having your vision of where you're going. And, you know, when you know where you're going and you actually have a clear picture of it, see, when we first got involved, when we picked up the phone and tell people about the opportunity, we weren't like, you know, it wasn't just that phone call. What we were doing was we were building our dream. We were creating that lifestyle that we had our pictures up on the walls, the cars we wanted to drive. And of course, we had our goals written down and we read over our goals all the time. So we were filled with the energy of our goals, and that leads to that enthusiasm. Now, once you actually have those goals, your vision, where you're going, that's what you're creating. You know, when you pick up the phone, that's why you're picking up the phone, and that comes through. You know, I always liked this, especially when we first got involved, is if you're the kind of person who's really as steady as it goes, this and that, you're not like ever excited, just be a little more excited. Just have a little more excitement in your voice. And people go, hey, what's with Mike? Something's going on. It's just an extra step in his, you know, there's an extra bounce in his step. And that kind of stuff is very important.
Hey, Mike, I remember the one time when when we were first getting started. It was very funny. We were telling somebody about our opportunity, and it wasn't somebody that really had much interest, but he said, there's no doubt in my mind that you guys are going to be successful. The only thing that I think might stop you is you're so excited. I have a feeling, and he was talking about you, that you might like walk out in front of a car because you don't look both ways and get run over. So if you can handle that part of it, you'll do fine. And because Mike was so darn excited.
I have a funny story about a great friend, Tom Wood, and he is an excited guy. Now, when he used to, sometimes you get answering machines, you know, and for the person to call him back, he was thinking of what can I do to get these people to call me back? Sort of like when you get a package, if it's a FedEx or if it's a priority, you open that first. Well, this is what Tom used to do when he left messages. He would leave singing messages. So he'd say, "Hi, this is Tom Wood. I want you to call me back. See you later. Goodbye. I've got something exciting." And he would hang up the phone. Sounds crazy, but guess what? Guess who they called back? They called back Tom first.
Yeah, we don't recommend that for everybody. But if you're up for it, go ahead. And, you know, having enthusiasm is one of those things where, you know, people will be attracted to you if you're attractive. If you have enthusiasm, people will be attracted to you. So again, what we talked about is just trying to create that enthusiasm. And again, we're talking about being on the phone. And what Kim talked about is so important is, you know, like at our opportunity meetings, what we do for the first 30 minutes before the meeting starts is we have music on in the background. And it's music that, you know, that makes you stand up and move around. And what it does is it creates an environment. It creates a feeling. And it's the same thing. We do the same thing before our weekly conference calls. We put the music up and we listen to it. So we're in a good place before we get started. We recommend you do the same thing as you're getting on the phone.
You know, and of course, like, sometimes understand it. We know it. It's challenging to pick up that phone. You know, sometimes, especially in the beginning, you know, and you're just getting started. You don't have the testimonials, your own stories to tell yet. You don't have your own success yet. And you might have, like, you know, like we did in the beginning, just a whole pile of problems, you know. We had a pile of bills. We were driving Steve's Geo, you know, and things like that. Just like when we got on the phones, it was the same thing when we got to our weekly meeting. Before we picked up the phones, before we even went into the war room to make our calls, we left our problems outside. You know, before we went into the weekly meeting, we'd agree we leave all the problems we had in the car. You know, you're acting as if success is certain. You're acting as if you are already successful. And again, you know, you might not be successful yet, but as you act as if you are, that success is bound to find you.
Okay, number 8, how would you like to have more people show up at your meetings? How would you like to have twice as many or three times as many people show up at your meetings? I think we would all really like that. So what we're going to talk about is a concept called, it's not who you know, it's who they know. And so number 8 is invite in pairs, okay? So the concept is, it's not who you know, it's who they know. And so let's say I'm inviting Mike out to a presentation. And Mike, I remember our very first meeting, and you know, for a lot of people, it's a frustrating experience, but because we already had some skills developed, because you had been in the seminar business and I had been in sales, we understood the concept of picking up the phone and inviting people and getting people to a particular event. And I think we had 24 guests at our first event, but realized is it took us years of developing those skills to be able to get up to that. But the reason we had so many is when we got somebody on the phone, we had them invite their spouse, we had them invite anybody that was a business partner of theirs. We said things like, hey, Mike, why don't you think of anybody that you usually make your business decisions with, because we think this project is going to be very, very lucrative. So anybody that you know that's really a mover and a shaker, anybody that is really money motivated, I would recommend you bring those kind of people with you. Also, another concept is it's very uncomfortable if your meeting is in a hotel room. It could be very uncomfortable for somebody to come by themselves. So you might say something like, hey, you know, it's going to be in a hotel room and I am going to sit with you, but if you feel more comfortable, why don't you bring somebody that you feel comfortable, you know, coming with? And this way, instead of having, you know, if you have 3 or 4 guests scheduled, that could turn into 8 or 12 guests. And we've seen that happen many times. And one of the hidden benefits of this is all of a sudden the person that you invited, that you're friends with, has no interest in your product or your company or your opportunity, but it's the person that they bring gets very excited about that.
You know, Steve, this is really important stuff. I mean, you know, we just pretty much stumbled on it when we were first getting going because we wanted to get the room filled. It was nothing else, but we just wanted to get as many people in that room as we could. So we would say to people, who else do you know, like you were saying. I can think of example after example, because now not only have we done that, but we've watched that duplicate through our organization.
Well, I guess a perfect example of that would be when I got invited to a meeting is, you know, the uncle of the boyfriend invited him, and of course he invited me. He said, bring him along with you, and an example of that is obviously, you know, the boyfriend's not around, not in the company, nowhere around, and I was one of the people that signed up and stayed in and have been here ever since.
Let's give you an example of how to do this. You know, say I'm calling Kim, I'm inviting her out. You know, she's responded to an ad I ran, or maybe, you know, I met her at a breakfast or something like this, a networking breakfast. But I'm calling her up. She's already agreed that it sounds like a good idea. She'll come on out and take a look. Now I'm going to see if I can increase my chances of getting more guests out. So, Kim, great. Now, you did mention to me that you were married, right?
Yes.
Hey, Kim, you know, it would be great if your husband could come out and take a look at this, too. You know, how about that? Do you think that might be possible?
I'm sure it's possible.
Okay, great. Now, I'll tell you what. Why don't you check with him? I'll give you a call back and confirm on it, but I'll hold two tickets aside for you. Now, is there anybody else that you guys, you know, have been in business with or make business decisions with or anyone you can think about who's pretty sharp that you might, you know, who might also be interested?
Sure, yeah. I have a best friend that we definitely would love to be in business together. We just haven't found anything.
Right, who would that be?
Loretta.
Loretta, okay. So how about that? Ask Loretta, too, and what I'll do is I'll give you a call back either later today or tomorrow. Which would be better?
Later on today, I'm going to be talking to her in about an hour, actually.
Okay, great. I'll call you back, and you know, we'll see. And then if they can both come out, that would be great, because then if they see it the way you see it and we all see it together, who knows? We might be able to make some serious money together.
And there's story after story after story in this industry. I can think back to one of the number one income earners in one of the biggest companies in our industry was the brother-in-law of somebody that was invited to the meeting. A gentleman was invited to the meeting, and the person that invited him said, hey, if you know anybody else, bring him along. He brought along his brother-in-law, and the brother-in-law got excited. Now, the person that was invited didn't see it, didn't understand it, didn't want it, wanted to get out of there, but the brother-in-law went to the top and became one of the wealthiest people in the industry of network marketing. So if you want to increase your numbers, if you want to have more people show up, if you want to get good at the skill early of working through people, of, you know, again, it's not who you know, it's who they know, and it's who they know, and it's who they know. And Mike and Kim, we could take out our genealogy of our organization and look at our success. And it's always been that one person has led to another person that has led to another person. And that is where we've come across our mega superstars.
And, you know, just thinking about this, so many times that somebody invites their best friend out, their business partner, it's really exciting because guess what? They're already working on their list and they've already got their first couple people involved. I mean, I've seen it over and over where, you know, where we invited somebody out, they brought their best two friends or the people who they work with, and all three of them are signing up. And what's so exciting is that person has already signed up the first two or three people. So, and to them, they've just already started their business that evening.
You know, it's powerful stuff because I can remember one time we had a guy come out. His name was John, and John wasn't too excited, but he had brought his buddy Al with him. And Al got really excited, so John had to sign up because he wasn't going to let Al go to the top without him. He was going to let Al get involved because he had brought Al. So, you know, you never know what's going to happen when you do something like this.
Okay, again, our subject is working the phones and getting good at working the phones. The eighth thing was called inviting in pairs. Number nine is called becoming a storyteller. Number nine rule of contacting and inviting with success is becoming a good storyteller. Now, remember, we've told you to keep these phone calls between 5 and 7 minutes. 5 and 7 minutes is what you want to focus on, and we've given you a lot of information. And this is not these are not skills that you're going to learn overnight, but these are just some things to keep in mind as you're getting on the phone. And most of the time, you're going to hang up at the phone and go, man, I definitely broke about 8 of the 11 rules. But number 9 is become a good storyteller. And simply what I mean by this, and I'll tell you a story to illustrate my point. Recently, I was doing a training, and there was a young lady in the front row, and I walked up to her, and I said, so tell me how you got involved in the company. And she said, funny story. And she went on to tell me that about 2 weeks before that, the phone had rang while she was watching television one night, and it was a wrong number. And the person on the other end of that phone call said, would you be interested in a home-based business opportunity? Because the other person, obviously, it's the wrong number. And she said, well, as a matter of fact, I am looking for something else to do. What have you got? And when the person shared the product with her, she had been a customer of that exact product line for the last 4 years. So she believed in the product already. She was looking for something. So this business was just a natural fit for her. But her problem was is she didn't know how to pick up the phone and talk to people. And I said, your story is right there. What you do is you call up some of your friends and you tell them that exact story of how you got involved. Want to hear a funny story? My phone rang a few weeks ago. The person asked if I was looking for a business. I said I was. I was already a customer for 4 years. I love the product. And it gives somebody a natural introduction to the conversation without feeling awkward. Because sometimes we just want to blurt out all this information about our company. But if you can just call the people that you know and like and trust, and they know and like and trust you, and you can simply share a story with them.
And of course, people can relate to stories. You know, we hear facts tell and stories sell. And that is so, so true. So whenever I'm talking about, you know, getting somebody involved, if I'm talking to somebody about getting involved in the product or service, or I'm talking about the company, I always use my story, or I may use somebody else's story from the company. Because, you know, you're brand new. Let's say you're brand new in the company. Well, you don't really have that big of a story yet, maybe. Or maybe you don't feel like it's a big of a story. But what you can do is get to know some of the people that are around you and get to know their story and how it can relate to your prospects. I will tell different stories to different people, how they relate. Say it's a real estate, you know, somebody's in real estate. Well, I'll tell them a story about how somebody got involved in real estate that was in our company, that they were used to be involved in that. So you want to relate to every single different prospect in a different way. So you need to have not just your story, you need to have stories from other different people in your area that are in your company, so you can really, really go to where they're at. That's what you need to remember. You need to go where the person's at when you're telling the stories.
You know, this is so, so important, you know, especially as you're down the process, you know, down the road a little bit in the process. And say, this comes up on three-way phone calls with me a lot, is people will, they'll have objections. They'll have, you know, their considerations about why they shouldn't get involved. You know, time being one of them, you know, well, I'm so busy. And here's a really, really important point for you. Don't answer those considerations directly. Always answer them with a story. I tell you what happens. People say, you know, I'm so busy, I don't know how I'd ever do it. And I say, you know, I understand exactly what you're saying, because let me tell you a story about my friend Chip. Now, Chip got involved with us. He was a phys ed teacher down in Florida. He had two little kids. He was coaching Little League. He was coaching the swimming team, and he was going back to school to get his master's. And he said, you know, I don't have that much time, but I like what you guys got. If you really think I can make money here, I can give it 8 to 10 hours a week. And that's what he did. Those 8 to 10 hours a week, he gave them to us. The first year, he didn't make all that much money in his business, $400 to $500 in a month, which is pretty good and everything, but he was putting in 8 to 10 hours faithfully. Second year, you know, his team was starting to grow. He made about, you know, from went to about $5,000 a month to about $8,000 a month. Third year, he hit the top, you know, one of the top levels in the company, and his team really duplicated and expanded. And that third year, now all of a sudden, he's making almost as much money in his 10-hour-a-week business as he is in his full-time job. Now, just, you know, as an example, again, I'm telling that story rather than arguing with the person's consideration.
Absolutely, Mike, and that's great. And again, what we're talking about is becoming a storyteller. And if you've ever known some of the masters in this industry, I remember when we got involved in our company, and I saw the number one income earner speak, and then I got a video of the same presentation, and I said, well, maybe they videotaped the presentation that I was at. And then I heard him again, and I said, this guy says the same thing. He's got the same jokes. He tells the same story every time. And what I realized is that the masters are just storytellers. And someone once told me that if you want to make thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions in this industry, then become a storyteller. Have a couple stories that you tell over and over and over again. But as it relates to our conversation here about working the phones, the point that I want to make is that when you first get on the phone is, you might start with a story like, hey, Mike, remember how I told you that, you know, I've always wanted to be in business for myself. I was never cut out for corporate. Well, I think I found something. So that's really, in essence, a story. I'm just sharing my story with him. And we'll get more into how to become a storyteller later in the tape series. You may be wondering, well, where do I get the stories? You get the stories by showing up. Woody Allen once said that 80% of life is just showing up. If you can show up and, you know, be a person that asks questions, just like I did with that distributor a couple of weeks ago that I met at a training. I said, hey, how'd you get involved? And if you ask simple questions like that, hey, how'd you get involved, or what's your story, what attracted you to this business, you will learn so much about what makes people tick. And if you can have 5, 10, 15, 20 good stories, whether, like Kim said, it's a real estate agent, maybe it's a stay-at-home mom, maybe it's a corporate executive that took a shot at a home-based business, whatever it is, if you can become a master storyteller, it first starts with learning those stories.
You know, this is so important. And to learn the stories, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, next week, go to your weekly meeting, go to your local event, and you want to learn the local stories. In fact, take this as an assignment. Learn at least 3 people's stories. How do you do this? Well, first of all, get there early. You know, if you don't get to the meeting early, make it a habit of getting there early. I like to be there a half an hour early, introduce my guests to all the local people. Now, when you go out and learn their stories, here's what you're going to do. Hey, Steve, you know, You know, I mean, you're one of the top leaders in the area. How did you get involved in the business? And then you're going on out and say, Steve, you know, say Steve was a real estate salesman, right? And he tells me his story. Now, when I meet a real estate salesperson, I'm going to say, hey, you're going to have to come on out and meet Steve. He's got a similar background to you. And that's great stuff. Now, the other thing about this, where else do you learn the stories? You learn them before the event, but also after the event. This is one of my favorite parts of the business. We call it the event around the event. Don't just rush home and go home. And in fact, I always tell my guests when I'm inviting them, listen, you're going to probably, if you can, want to stay a little bit later. We're just going to go on, have a cup of coffee, go over to the lounge and meet some of the people who have been very successful. Now, in the event, around the event, after the event, stories are told. And again, you want to go on out there and learn everybody's stories. Make it your business to learn the personal stories of the people that you consider the top 10 people in your neck of the woods.
Okay, Mike, great advice. So number 9 is becoming a storyteller. And again, by attending your local events, your company's national events, by being on the conference calls, by being alert, you can learn and become a great storyteller. So let's just review a little bit. We're talking about having phone calls where you're taking charge. The person asking the questions is in charge. We're talking about being yourself and being comfortable. Don't say anything until you can say everything. Keeping those calls really limited to about 5 to 7 minutes. Using their hot buttons to invite, number 4. Number 5, creating that sense of urgency. Number 6, having a fear of loss. A lot of people operate because they don't want to lose something just as much as to gain something. 7 is having enthusiasm. I am sold myself. IASM. I am sold myself. 8, invite in pairs. It's not who you know, it's who they know, and it's who they know. Becoming a master storyteller is number 9. And number 10, we're going to have some fun with. Number 10 is have a workout partner. Now, you probably wouldn't be listening to this tape cassette series today if I didn't have a workout partner. And I know I can say the same for Mike, and I can say the same for Kim. It's having a workout partner that makes this business fun. And, you know, we talk about failing your way to the top. We talk about going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. And it's not necessarily that it's, you know, that we're out here doing such hard work. I think the biggest thing is rejection. That's probably the toughest part of the business. So if you can have a workout partner, if you can have a group of people that see it the same way that you see it, that you can tell about your bad stories as well as your good stories, then they laugh and you have a good time together. I believe that's what this is all about.